STEM pros, let's be real. You got the degree, the skills, maybe even several years in, but you're not getting the recognition or leadership positions that you're looking for. Well, it might not be you. Actually, I don't think it is. You just haven't picked up the right tools to help move the needle. That's where the Be Incredible Starter Pack comes in. You get a leadership masterclass, a resume template, interview guide to be a pro at interviewing, and even a budget template to level up your financial game. If you're serious about stepping into your next level, head to incredipaul.org/start and grab your starter pack today.
Turn this up! Turn this up!
Your professional development is one of the keys to your career success. When you combine your desire to grow with actionable steps, your journey to success becomes an incredible reality.
Hi, I'm Paul Farranby, aka Incredible Paul, and welcome to Incredible Paul Leadership, where we learn how to become the most incredible versions of ourselves by learning from each other. First off, if you're only listening to this episode, I want you to know that you can also watch it on YouTube. But regardless, if you're listening or watching the episode, really appreciate your support. Today, I have the honor of having Uma Abu. He is a software engineer and content creator. He currently works at Netflix as a software engineer and creates content related to software engineering on all the social media platforms. So that's just a little bit about you, but how about you introduce yourself the way you would do it?
My name is Uma. I am currently a software engineer at Netflix. Prior to that, I was a software engineer at Microsoft for around 5 years. And yeah, I'm also a content creator. I make videos online about anything related to the software engineering experience. Some of it is technical, some of it is non-technical. And I'm also the co-founder of Candor, which is a platform that basically connects people to people in their dream jobs so they could have conversations and hopefully expand their network.
That's really incredible. Really, I'll focus on the software engineering side first.
Okay.
How did you, or did you always know you wanted to be a software engineer? How did that develop for you?
Yeah, so I've always been interested in technical things and solving technical problems. And so it didn't manifest as software engineering initially. It actually started off as aerospace engineering. And so I went to Iowa State and started studying aerospace engineering. And around 3 years in, I realized I wasn't necessarily interested in aerospace engineering. I was just interested in solving complicated problems. And at the time, aerospace was very complicated. It still is, but you know, you take a few aerodynamics classes, you kind of understand how things work, and there isn't a lot of magic after that, right? They're like, it's just kind of stale. It basically becomes stale after some time. And so I looked for something that wouldn't bore me, something where I could continually keep learning, something that I could get my hands dirty. And the next logical step was software. It's everywhere in so many forms, so many ways. And so I switched my major to software and, you know, did a few internships and then ended at Microsoft. And then after that, and now I am currently at Netflix. So I didn't know that I wanted to do software, but I know I wanted to solve complicated problems. And that's exactly what software is.
That makes sense. Like, you were just going after what you wanted. And for that was aerospace engineering. I think it's kind of funny that you said aerospace engineering got kind of old for you. And it's literally rocket science. And people joke about this. It's not rocket science. And you're like, rocket science is not enough for me. I want something more complicated.
Yeah, I think it's, there's, the way I think about it, it's kind of like in twofold, right? There's the complicated aspect of it, but the innovation in that space hadn't changed in a long time, right? You're very kind of like limited to what you do, right? Like, there are just specific bounds to say, okay, you have to work within this. But with something like software, you can write code in for so many applications in so many places, right? Like, throughout my first few years doing internships as a software engineer, I never went back to the same industry in quotes, right? I started at SPS Commerce writing code for like consumer applications. Then I went to Rockwell Automation writing code for like industrial drives. Then I worked on research paper with like C++. The opportunities were endless with software, and that's literally what I was looking for. So I think aerospace is complicated, but it just kind of felt like I was a little bit in a box. Yeah.
So you wanted to get out of the box. So it's not, it was less of the complexity, more of the innovation and new ways of thinking.
New ways of thinking, exactly, yeah.
Okay, so that definitely makes sense. So as you dove into software engineering, did it kind of come pretty easy to you, or were there any challenges you faced as you dove into it?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge I faced at the time was it's so abstract, right? You're learning how to talk to a computer in a language that the computer kind of understands, but you have to learn that language, and then that language gets compiled into even lower level language. And so it was so abstract, but I think that was the biggest challenge, but I kind of embraced it for what it was, in that I just kept going, right? I just tried to get my hands in as much projects as possible, try to get as much experience building things for myself. If I ever wondered, hey, how does this mobile app work? I will go build a mobile app. Sometimes it'll take me weeks. Sometimes it'll take me months. I had a project that I worked on for a couple of years on and off, just because it was that complicated and I was dedicated to seeing it through. And so I think that was the biggest challenge. But ultimately, I didn't see it as a challenge. I just saw it as what came with it. And it was the reason why I actually gravitated towards it.
That's really good. Really, I see a lot of persistence in what you do. Just incredible leadership. So I'll tie it back to leadership. Like, leadership can be difficult at times. There's a lot of persistence that you have to understand what you want to do, which was in the case that you wanted to solve complex problems. There were some in aerospace, but you realize, no, I want to do something that expands a little bit beyond that. That's really cool. So kind of pivoting over to talking about Candor, because you talked a little bit, or am I saying there is a Candor or Candor?
Yeah, you are saying it right.
Okay, Candor. So I know a little bit about the organization, but you shared a little bit about it as well. But talk to me about how you even start something like that, because you're working full time. And that in itself takes a lot of time. And people talk about doing things outside of their full-time work. You don't always do it. So what was really the motivator or the push for you to be a co-founder for Candor?
Sure, absolutely. So to talk about Candor, I have to give a little bit of backstory. So when I switched my major from aerospace to software engineering, I was kind of starting afresh. And I was kind of learning the ropes on professional development, career development, trying to figure out, okay, how do I actually start landing these internships? How do I learn how to talk to these companies? How do I learn how to present myself? And I had a mentor at the time. He was a senior, and I think I was a sophomore or a junior. After you switch, you pretty much don't know what year you were in because it's so complicated. But
yeah,
he was giving me tips. He was saying, all right, go talk to this professor, try to see if you can get into this research lab. You're doing some really cool stuff that will be applicable to the industry. You know, he was just giving me some tips like that. And eventually I went to a NSBE convention. And prior to that, I wasn't getting a lot of luck with applying to jobs online or going to like the career fair at Iowa State. And so I went to a NSBE convention and I spoke to an engineer at Rockwell Collins, I believe.
Okay. I don't want to cut you off, but just so for people are listening or watching, the NSBE is the National Society of Black Engineers.
Yes, NSBE, National Society of Black Engineers. I went to a conference and I spoke to an engineer there, and he just straight up gave me some tips on my resume. First of all, he told me, good work, but this is why I am not going to move forward with you. And that was something that I had never heard before. And it was the light bulb moment for me that changed everything, right? He was like, okay, this thing on your resume, you may think it looks good, but this is what it is saying, right? Or I think you should work on this part of your resume. I think you should. He basically just turned the whole, you know, career fair experience, that one-on-one where you go to try to pitch yourself, into like a feedback session. And that completely changed me. It changed the way I thought about stuff, because I was now able to go back and then work on the stuff that he told me. And then the following year I went and he actually gave me like I found the same person and we had a whole different conversation. But that moment where someone gave me feedback was a pivotal moment in my career, because prior to that, most of the feedback that I had received weren't from people in the industry, right? They would be from people at like career services, and the feedback they give is somewhat generic. but it's not kind of like tailored. And so fast forward a couple of years, I was at Microsoft and I was working on projects. I was on my own personal project. I was also making YouTube videos. And a friend of mine, that same mentor who told me to go talk to this research professor and stuff like that, he was like, hey, I want to start a company and I'm looking for a co-founder. Company is essentially a way for companies to give feedback to people who apply for their roles, right? So you apply for software engineer at Microsoft and you don't get in. How do you get feedback on what to improve? And that's how the whole company started. Fast forward 2 years, there were a couple of students in Harvard Business School that were working on something very, very, very similar. And when we went to go pitch to get some money, one of the organizations we pitched to said, hey, you guys are doing very similar thing to this company and you're both really early stage, so why don't you just form? And we eventually grouped. And yeah, that's the whole story behind Candor. But essentially, that moment gave me feedback as to what I should change. And that was feedback that I had never heard before, right? It was candid feedback. And that's how the name Candor basically formed.
Ah, candid feedback to Candor.
Yeah, Candor feedback that opens career doors.
Candid feedback that opens career doors.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's so cool how just one moment, seemingly one moment at the career fair, National Society of Black Engineers. You said it was Rockwell Automation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this person took the time to give you feedback, because that doesn't always happen. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, well, I'll take your resume. And they just throw it away.
I'll take your resume and you just never hear back from them, right?
Like, yeah.
You just never hear back. But he said that he told me, listen, we're not moving forward with you and this is why. I was like, oh, that's something I had never heard. And I believe everyone deserves that experience at least once with someone, right? On the career side, rather on the professional side, there are a lot of people who want to give back and help people, but they don't know how to, or they don't have the space to. And Candor kind of creates that environment for them to do that on their own terms, right? You go in, you create a profile, you can state things that you're willing to help with, and then people then go on there and then book calls with you for the things that you want to help with. It could be career advice, resume prep, interview preparation, so many other services. And essentially, you know, you also put what time that you're available, and then people just book and you sit and you have a conversation. And after that, you just give them feedback as to whatever. And if you want to schedule a follow-up call, you can completely do that. You set your hours, you set your times. And yeah, that's the whole premise. We just believe that everybody deserves that one person, right? That just, because at the end of the day, one conversation can change your life. And hopefully we envision that conversation happens on Candor.
One conversation can change your life. That's so true. I even think back in my life, even doing all the stuff I'm doing with Incredipaw and starting this business 5 years ago now. It's changed over the years what it's looked like, what I focus more on, like career stuff or resume stuff, or now more focused on leadership the last few years. It was a conversation I had with a mentor also at a conference, not at a NSBE conference, but one focused on STEM as well. And he just talked about going after your greatness and just continue to push forward. And the fact that I didn't only have to do engineering, technical stuff, I could do other things as well. And he modeled that, because I think as we go into our careers, and you let me know if you feel this way, there's a tendency to feel like, okay, I'm studying aerospace engineering, I'm studying software engineering, that's the only thing I can do. That's the only thing I should do. If I do anything else, then I'm not using my degree. I don't know if you feel the same.
Yeah, I felt the same way regarding the type of videos that I make online. For the first 4 years, they were all technical videos because I am a technical person. I enjoy the technical stuff. And then eventually, I started to think, there's so many things that I've learned, so many things that I know beyond technical, like the interpersonal relationships, right? How to deal with conversations with your manager, how to handle career growth, how to handle thinking about solving the problems in a non-technical way, how to communicate with your team. And eventually my content as well has also morphed to a mixture of both, where if I have the urge or if I have the idea to talk about some experience that I faced in my actual job that's not related to technical, that's not technical that other people can like benefit from, then I make a video about it too. So I completely agree with you there, where sometimes you feel like, you know, if you're not making, like if you, it kind of feels like you've made this thing your identity, and if you kind of like want to step away from it, then feels like you're not being yourself. But in reality, there's so many ways that things can go, right? And yeah.
That's really true about the identity piece. Because a lot of times with our identities, people can only see one side of us sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so when we're doing something else, they're like, that's not you. But like, no, that's just a different side of me that you haven't seen yet.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 It's very like, even for yourself, it can kind of feel a little bit off. Like it took me a while to be comfortable posting those type of videos. And because everyone in my audience was expecting, you know, talking about the code, which is what I enjoy doing, but there's so much more value that people can learn in certain things. Like I think me talking about an extra technical thing that I find interesting may not necessarily be the push that someone needs to level up in their career. Like learning another technical thing isn't always the next thing you need, right? It could be learning how to think about certain problems or how to navigate certain situations. So yeah, I completely agree.
So are there any topics outside of the technical side that you feel like you see yourself coming back to, or people are more resonating with from your content?
Let me think about it a little. So I started to talk about the non-technical parts, which mostly align with career growth, career development, what type of projects you should try to ideally be aiming for at work, right? Difference between busy work and impactful work. What else? You know, how to kind of navigate that career ladder, how to have conversations, those tough conversations with your manager, how to, you know, kind of like align your goals and align, like try to make sure your goals are aligned with the organization's goals, because that's essentially how you navigate that space, right? And so those are the types of content that I was like, you know, I really want to make this. And what I ended up doing was I have a friend, a very good friend of mine. He's a neighbor as well. He literally moved in across the street from my house.
That's convenient.
And, yeah. And what we would do is after work, we would just chat. We would just like de-stress. And we would have this conversation for hours from maybe like 6 to like 9 p.m. We're just talking and talking.
Wow.
And a lot of it were like really good conversations. And we decided, I think December last year, I was like, why don't we turn this into a podcast, right? We have the conversations all the time. So, and we're literally talking about the stuff that I just mentioned, right? Like the non-technical parts of tech, right? Like the raw, unfiltered experiences of being a software engineer. And that's what we did. We created Beyond the Build podcast, which is where we just talk about tech. Like we talk about the non-technical parts of tech, right? Like having imposter syndrome to how do you use AI in your work, right? And without feeling like you actually know, like without feeling like you don't know what you're doing, right? Like how do you balance all of that? We talk about our experiences we talk about work-life balance as well, right? As a software engineer and stuff like that. So I think that's the part that I basically find myself keep coming back to, because it's like I'm living a life and the technical part is just this part. Like it's like one section, but there's a lot more than just the technical part.
Oh, I love that. And you said the name of the podcast is Beyond the Build.
Yes, Beyond the Build podcast.
Beyond the Build podcast. So make sure we link that in the show notes so people can check it out. Because I think there's a lot of synergies with this show. So I think people who like this show would probably like that one, because like a lot of people I have on this show are in technical fields. So I talk a lot about leadership, personal growth. It seems like you're talking a lot about specifically in career development, imposter syndrome, having difficult conversations, which that is something that we don't talk about on the technical side.
Exactly. Yeah, right. And it's stuff that we face every day. Like I think there was a time when I was having a rough patch at work where for like for about like 3 weeks to like a month, it was like a week to 2 weeks. I hadn't pushed any code, because the problem I was solving was so complex. And I was just having a conversation with him. I was like, yo, like, I feel like I'm just running in circles and circles and circles. And he was like, oh, yeah, that totally makes sense. And he was like, I was like, I'll expand for that. And I was like, well, the scale of the problem that you're solving, you can't expect to see progress in a week or 2 weeks, right? Because it's so huge, right? Sometimes knowing what not to do is progress. And that takes you going down one route and understanding that this is not what to do. But in going down that route, you've actually learned, right? So you may not see you may see progress as one way going in one direction, but in reality, there's so many aspects to it. And that's just conversations that I'm just having with a really, really good friend. And that's the type of stuff that we talk about on the podcast. So, but it's stuff that engineers face every day, right? Especially with the nature of how complex our work is.
Well, that's really good. That's a leadership lesson in itself, that you're going down one route and it's not working. And it's a whole concept or mindset of how you see failure. Because I like to say that the path to success is paved with failure, because you cannot get to anywhere. You can't be successful without failing along the way.
Absolutely. But yeah.
And I think a lot of times we want the success, but we don't want the failure to happen along the way. So it's easy to get frustrated or down on yourself. It's like, oh, I'm not making progress. But if you look at it as, hey, these are things that are not working, it's leading me closer to where I want to go. I think it was Thomas Edison that said he had failed 10,000 times. I was like, no, I found 10,000 ways that didn't work, and that got me closer to the solution. Yeah.
And there's so much value and so much lessons in the ways that don't work, right? If you allow yourself to look at it from that perspective, then you're like, there's so many ways that things that don't work out or things that don't align in the way that you want them to eventually end up being incredible opportunities for you to either pivot into saying, oh, okay, well, I was trying to do this, but doing it this way doesn't work. But doing it this way actually opens a whole other world that I can then go explore or have someone explore and things like that. So I think the lesson there is just, you know, ultimately just have an open mind. And if it's not failure, right? It's just finding a way not to do something. And that's a lesson that you'll take with you for the rest of your life, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's because I know, so we talk about taking L's. Like, I've said it before, but the only L's I take are lessons.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're learning something. The only way you truly fail is if you don't learn something.
100% agree. Yeah.
But yeah, what you've done with Candor, like what you're doing with Netflix now, and what you continue to do with creating your content. And I like how your content has evolved as well, because I think it's really easy to feel like you're stuck in only doing one thing. But as you've grown, you've also expanded what you're doing, and even launching a podcast as well, which is no small feat. Like, podcasts take a lot of work.
Are you wondering what's next? Has everything you tried failed? Or maybe you just feel stuck? Then coaching may be right for you. The coaching relationship is a relationship totally centered on you. So what are you waiting for? Go to incredipal.org/coaching so I can help you become the most incredible version of yourself.
It takes a lot of work, yeah. But I think it, for me, the way I think about just the content in general is just I kind of don't know where I'm going, which sounds very, very absurd to say, but I literally get a lot of questions to say, okay, well, where do you see this thing in, like, you know, X amount of years, right? Like, where do you want to take this thing, right? And for me, there isn't an actual solid answer, because I'm just following the process and enjoying creating and just trying to make each video better than the next, right? So when I started with my technical videos, right, it was just pure technical. I sounded like a high school teacher, literally. And then eventually I'm like, all right, how do I make this more digestible for people? And then I started learning how to write better, right? And then for my longer form YouTube videos, I'm like, okay, I want to tell you about how Google Maps works, but I can't just tell you it uses Dijkstra's algorithm. I have to tell it to you in a story, in a way that's digestible. So I started learning how to write that way. And then with the short form videos as well, I'm like, all right, how do I keep this engaging? And I wanted to make animations for the videos, but I didn't know how to make animations. And so for a while, I was stuck with just doing the same thing. And once the videos started reaching a point where they made some money, I then hired a video editor to help me turn my ideas into story. And the video, then after a while, I had an animator as well. And that's just changed it completely for me, because now I can dive into the most complex topics that I want to. But with the animations, they're so digestible, right? Because you're seeing movements, right? And so it's just like, you know, with each video, I'm like, all right, how do I make this better than the last time I made it, right? Could it be better storytelling, right? In the way that I explain technical concepts? Could it be being more personable and sharing more about myself on things that I'm actually going through? And could it be better equipment, right? Could I get a better microphone that will actually make the production quality better? Could it be a better camera? Could it be better lighting? Could it be... So it's just that idea of how do I just become better each time? And where it's going is, I honestly don't know, to be honest, but I know I'm loving every single process of what I'm doing, and I really don't see it as work. Yeah.
No, I think that's a good place to be, because I think a lot of times people can get stuck in what John Maxwell calls destination disease. It's like where I'm going, and they don't enjoy the journey along the way. The thing is, and I look at every person that has been successful over the years, and they talk about success, they talk about the money, and they're like, there's more to life than this. But for whatever reason, I think the tendency is we don't believe them because we haven't experienced it. It's like, okay, you're saying that because you're rich, you have everything. But it's like, when I have that, I'm going to feel like whole, all these different things. But I think there's something there, especially what you're doing, that you're actually enjoying the process. You're enjoying the journey there. So even if you don't have a set endpoint, like, you're enjoying it along the way, and you're just making an impact. And I think that matters more than being, okay, I want to be the biggest YouTuber ever. I want to reach billions of people. I want to make the X amount of dollars.
Yeah.
But then, what happens when you reach that goal? Then what?
Exactly. Right. And it's there's also the part where, like, if the way I think about it is like, if you have these external things that you're pushing towards, which some of them can be good, what happens, like, for a lot of them, there is no timeline, right? Or the timeline that you put for yourself may not work, right? Or it's not promised. So essentially, how do you keep going even when you know that this thing may or may not work, right? And it ultimately boils down to enjoying what you're doing. The person who loves running will run longer than the person who's running to a specific spot, right? And it's just something that I've learned in other podcasts that I listen to as well, where everybody, as you say, who have, you know, they've made millions of dollars, they've built incredible businesses, they have incredible podcasts and channels like that. A lot of the feedback that they give themselves is they wish they enjoyed the process getting there, right? They knew they were going to get there, right? Like, when they got there, in their mind, they're like, I knew I was going to get here, but I wish I actually enjoyed the process getting here. I wish I was kinder to myself, right? I wish I actually gave myself grace. And that's something that I am trying to do, right? I have the intrinsic motivation to keep doing this thing, but I also want to enjoy it as I'm doing it. That way I do it for as long as possible.
Yeah, that's really wise. That's really good advice. And even the fact that you're continuing to develop and being intentional about the whole point of this show, becoming the most incredible version of yourself. Like, what I've heard, everything that you mentioned, there wasn't any specific person doing anything. It was just stuff that were internal motivation, and that's been driving you throughout.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just been a process of going back to the drawing board and saying, how can I make this better? What could I have done better here? But not also beating yourself to the point where if it's not going well, like, there are times when I've tried my best to kind of like make a video a certain way, but it's not just coming out that way. And I'm like, maybe it's just not time. And I just push the video the way it is, right? And because I'm like done is better than perfect. Over time, you kind of have a standard for the kind of way you want your videos and your work to be, right? And then that standard kinds of increase. But if you are comparing yourself or comparing your videos to people's videos online, right? You don't know what budgets, what production team they have. Remember, I was like, you know, there was this really, really good technical creator that I like watching, and he likes doing animation. And Turns out he hires a whole content agency to just make that part for him. And I was like, oh, I did not know that. I thought he was in his, you know, in his house, just like doing it the way I do. No, like he has a whole team, right? And so ultimately it's just, okay, you know, this can be better, but can you go without it for now, right? Can you just keep doing what you know how to do and gradually over time invest in either learning the skill or hiring someone to do it for you if you have the means? Yeah.
I think that's really good advice, because we can, when we're trying to get better at different things and you're looking at that other person and they may have research you don't even know about. And it's funny because the whole, I think a lot of stuff in content creation, we want it to look natural, even if it isn't something that is natural. It took a whole lot of work.
Exactly.
But that's why it could look like, oh, it's just them doing it by themselves. But you're like, to your point, they have a whole team.
Yeah.
The other day, because there's like my podcast and always trying to get better, do different things. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to this podcaster who is the Diary of the CEO podcast, if anyone has familiar with Stephen Bartlett. And he's like, he was successful at Flight Studio before he did anything with podcasting. And then he was talking about the amount of money he put into it. And it makes sense why he was successful on all those things so quickly, because he has a team of like 25 people for his podcast, not just for his podcast.
Exactly.
So it's like, so it's easy to be like, oh, like he's doing all this, like all this thing. So he's like, he literally invested like I think $1 million like the first year and then got sponsored all this stuff because he already had the credibility, already had a business. So if you're a new podcaster and you don't happen to have owned the company before, I think give yourself some grace to not compare yourself to those people.
Absolutely. I think you can look at them and kind of pick things that you want to learn or you want to kind of like apply to your own stuff, right? Could it be that they're the type of questions or the type of dialogues that they're having are really, really good, right? Or the way the video looks is good. Like, pick one thing and you can improve on, and just improve on one thing at a time. And again, as I said, over time, the quality of your video starts to look really, really good. And I remember I used to shoot with just my phone at first. Then I was like, man, I really want the background to look a certain way. Then I invested in a DSLR. Then I was like, oh, well, the DSLR I have doesn't have a nice lens. Then I bought a lens. Like, just then after the video looked good, I was like, man, my audio could be better. Then I got like one of those lapel microphones. And then now eventually I have like a whole sound system, right? So just pick one thing and try to improve it. And over time, you know, you will just become really, really good, as opposed to just comparing yourself to people. As you said, they have teams of people. Like, you never see what's behind the camera, right? No, you never see what's behind the camera. And in yours, there's no one behind the camera. It's just you. You press record in your video, right? But for them, there's an audio guy, there's a dialogue guy, there's a personal assistant, there's all that stuff that's kind of like coming together to create what you see, but you don't see it.
There's a lot of things that you don't see behind the scenes. And I even think about with social media in general, we just see snapshots. Like, even if you watch, like people watch, if they're watching this episode on YouTube, like it's a longer interview, but this is just like a small part of our lives that you get to see, that we talk about. There's a lot of stuff that happens to people's lives that you'll never know. You never know what people are experiencing. You don't know what it took to get there unless people tell you. A lot of successful people, just from listening to podcasts and going to different talks, is that if I told you every single thing I did to get to where I was, is like, you would not want that. Like,
exactly.
The pain I experienced, or rejection, all these different things. And it's even stuff that they didn't realize was going to happen along the way.
Yeah.
But that all those things made them who they are. But then people see them as this quote overnight success, but they were working so long for. I even look at like Mr. Beast, because he's one of the biggest YouTubers. Like, he put out like 400 videos before any of them went viral. And how many people would do that?
I think the place where I kind of like think about this the most is musicians, right? If you ever see a musician that's just, this person is really good, their music is good, right? Like, go to Spotify and look at their discography. They've been creating music for a long time, right? Long time. Like, and the way they sounded when they first started is probably different from how they sound now, right? But they've grown over time, right? And yeah, for sure. Like, the question is, as I said, are you willing to run when you don't know, when there's no set destination that you're running to, right? You're doing it because you enjoy it. And as I said, like, there is no specific timeline, right? There's no, hey, you start doing this thing now, by year five, you're going to blow up. Now, it could be year one, it could be year 15, it could be year 20, right? Do you actually enjoy the process of what you're doing? And if you do, then you'll do it longer than someone who is just trying to do it to get to a specific place. Because when things become hard, and they will, that intrinsic motivation is what will keep you going.
Intrinsic motivation keeps you going when things get hard. Now that's really good. Well, I know we talked a lot about what you do on the software engineering side with Candor, your podcast, but is there anything else about you or what you do, or maybe from words of wisdom to engineers, people in tech that you want to dive into?
Nothing specific. I would say one thing that's also huge for me is being active and being fit. And I think it's important for us to do, because it's when you take care of yourself, everything else just kind of aligns, right? And so I basically do some sort of physical activity every day, except for Saturdays when I rest. And it doesn't have to be anything hectic, right? Some days it's running, other days it's going to the gym. And I try to just train. I'm currently training for a full marathon. Last year I ran a half, and this year I ran the same half, but in like 15 minutes less, right? So It's like the idea of just training and doing something physical and gradually seeing yourself get better over time is something that can translate to every part of life as well, right? So it could be the gym, right? It could be that, hey, I'm just going, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm going to follow this workout plan, and you start lifting very light weights and then you just become stronger over time, right? Or you want to run, or you want to play basketball, or you want to do some skill, just any physical activity where on the physical side, you do get better, you get stronger, you get healthier. On the mental side, you also build, you know, that resistance and that toughness. And I think it's important to kind of do hard things because your brain is kind of like wired to adapt to your environment and adapt to the things that you're doing, right? And so if you kind of subject yourself to hard things occasionally and you kind of see something as hard and you get through it, then the next time you see something that's hard, you're like, well, I've already done something that's even harder, right? If I could do that, then I can definitely do this. And I think that's something that people should kind of strive to do as well, because again, to be the most incredible version of yourself, you can't just stay in one place, right? There's so many aspects to it. There's the personal side, there's the professional side, there's the physical side, there's the mental side as well. And just trying to keep an all-around balance, it's something that I think everyone should strive to. And I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good, focusing on the fitness side. It's funny that you mentioned that, especially talk about the being the most credible is multiple aspects to it. And so I'll keep it under wraps for now, but there's other aspects to Incredipol that I've been thinking about that I want to introduce. Now it's just not the time yet. So I will keep people in suspense, but like four different aspects of it. And I think really when you talk about the fitness side, that's one of the things that it's the consistency over the intensity, because we talk about, oh yeah, like I worked out for 2 hours, 3 hours. It's like, what'd you do today? What'd you do? Yeah. What are you doing tomorrow? Yeah. It's like the consistency matters more than just the intensity.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just show up when you don't feel like it. Show up happy, show up sad, show up not wanting to show up. Just show up literally in whatever way you can. And not all days will be great, but If you keep showing up eventually, when you least expect it, that's when you start seeing the growth. That's when you start seeing the gains. So absolutely.
Show up and grow. I like that. Absolutely. Well, this has been a great conversation. I want to make sure people know how to connect with you, whether it's your YouTube, podcast, website, so whatever you want to share, and then we can link the rest in the socials.
Absolutely. So on TikTok, it's at UmaCodes. Well, on TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, it's at UmaCodes. On YouTube, you can also search me as just Uma Abu. On LinkedIn, it's Uma Abu as well. And the podcast is called Beyond the Build Podcast. It's on my personal YouTube channel. And we also have an Instagram page where we share clips of the podcast as well. It's called at Beyond the Build Podcast. And otherwise, you can reach me at info@umacodes.com.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing all those different ways. You are doing incredible work, multifaceted, multi-hyphenated engineer, I would say, with all the different things that you're doing. And I think it's important to share those things, because a lot of times people only see one dimension of someone and they think like, that's all they do. That's all I can do, all I can aspire to do. Or we see people doing multiple things that are enjoying it as well. Cause I think not everyone talks about the enjoyment piece. Cause
absolutely.
I think a lot of people aren't enjoying what they do, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
More people being intentional about enjoying things is really key.
I completely agree. I think we only have a certain amount of time in this world. No time is, time isn't promised to anyone. So just try to live the best you can and just enjoy what you're doing. Try to find joy in it, at least.
Absolutely, find joy. So for those of you listening, you heard it here, find joy in what you're doing. And also, if you are doing something that you thought was what the picture of what you wanted to do, like Uma was explaining, like the solving complex problems, and you figure out something else that maybe is drawing you in that direction, don't be afraid to pivot and try something else or add something in addition, like what he's doing with different avenues. We can be multidimensional people. I know a lot of times they'll say focus on one thing. I think there's two, we don't have time to dive into that, because there's two ways to do it. But really, the key thing here is to go after your passions, enjoy the journey, and you too can be incredible.
Be sure to rate and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform. We'll see you here next time. And be incredible.
Incredible.
STEM pros, let's be real. You've got the degree, the skills, maybe even several years in, but you're not getting the recognition or leadership positions that you're looking for. Well, it might not be you. Actually, I don't think it is. You just haven't picked up the right tools to help move the needle. That's where the Be Incredible Starter Pack comes in. You get a leadership masterclass, a resume template, interview guide to be a pro at interviewing, and even a budget template to level up your financial game. If you're serious about stepping into your next level, head to incredipal.org/start and grab your starter pack today.